Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. So if you go ahead and put that first scripture up, this was the theme scripture, Matthew 10:39. And the New Living Translation says, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Now that is a backwards, messed up way of doing things. Because what scripture is saying that I've got to let go of something in order to really gain something. But a lot of us, I think, like what we have. And we're going to hold on to it just as long as we can with the tightest grip that we have. We had 7 leaders and 18 youth attend this conference of over 13,000 young people. And all with one purpose, and that was to... Okay, you ready to read the shirt, okay? Oh, y'all are louder than that, okay? All with one purpose, and that was to... Okay. That is... You know, several years ago, I did a message on baggage and how we carry spiritual baggage. Some of us had baggage. And we were going into the conference with our bags. Then we got to the door. And you know what they had to do? They had to check our bags. They had to make sure that there wasn't anything harmful in there. So we had to check our bags at the door. We could not drag our baggage into the conference. You with me? And what the Lord showed me during this and during the time I did that message several years ago was just how much baggage I was carrying. Baggage from failed relationships, baggage from rejection, baggage from whatever, not living up to other people's standards and this kind of thing. And it was very difficult because the Lord said, if you're going to have healthy, deep relationships with any kind of substance, then you've got to check your bags at the door. You are not, and I will not allow those bags to come in. Because, you know, if I'm dragging bags around, I can't get close to other people. But how many of you know getting rid of your baggage is one of the hardest things you could ever do? Let's watch a video.
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to check that.
I got it.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. That bag won't fit.
I'm not checking my bag, okay?
Okay, there's no need to raise your voice, sir.
I'm not raising my voice. This would be raising my voice to you, okay? I don't want to check my bag, okay? And by the way, your airline, you suck at checking bags, okay? Because I already did that once and you lost it. And then I had everything screwed up very badly for me, okay?
Well, I can assure you that your bag will be placed safely below deck with the other luggage.
Oh, yeah? How do you know my bag will be safe below with the other luggage? Huh? Are you physically going to take my bag and put it beneath the plane? Are you going to go right now outside with the guys with the earmuffs and go put it in there?
No.
No? Okay. Then shut your pie hole and listen to me when I say that I am finished with the checking of the bags conversation.
Sir, we have a policy on this airline that if a bag is this large...
Okay, you know what? Get your grubby little paws off of my bag, okay? It's not like I have a bomb in here. It's not like I want to blow up the plane.
Sir!
I just want to stow my bag according to your safety regulations.
Sir!
Hey,
sir!
If you would take a second and take a little sticks out of your head, clean out your ears, and maybe you would see that I'm a person who has feelings, and all I have to do is do what I want to do, and all I want to do is hold on to my bag and not listen to you. And the only way that I would ever let go of my bag would be if you came over here right now and tried to pry it from my dead lifeless fingers, okay? If you can get it from my kung fu grip, then you can come and have it.
Ah, yeah. And we laugh at that, but how many of us? No, you're not taking this bag. I don't want to check my bag. This is mine. I like it. I'm used to it. Matter of fact, I don't trust that you'll take care of it. Matter of fact, I don't even know that you'll... I think you might just throw it away. I think you might damage my bag. So I'm going to hang on to it and hear it till you can pry it from my dead, lifeless fingers. But see, we talked about, you know, how giving up control feels like giving into chaos, but it does. It's not chaotic because it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're just not used to that kind of structure and order and freedom. So we're going to hang on to it. So we got to learn that it's not a loss, but a gain. We've got a scripture here. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who, listen, initiates and perfects. He initiates it. We respond to it. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. We only lose the baggage that is weighing us down, and then we gain everything that God has for us. Now, has anybody ever done this? Let's look at this picture. Raise your hand. Let's get some honest people. Okay, those of you who aren't raising hands, I'm just going to say I'm having some trust issues right now. If you're not raising your hand, because I've done this. And the problem is we do that spiritually. Instead of getting rid of the baggage, we try to cram more in. Because really, we know we probably shouldn't be dragging this around and don't want to be seen with this much luggage. So we cram more stuff in a smaller bag. Y'all with me? I mean, I don't want to get rid of that rejection because I kind of like the way that feels. Then I can be a victim. And let's just cram that in there and zip it up and nobody will see it. And then your bag just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it explodes. And that's just not a pretty sight. And then you're damaging all kinds of relationships. Amen? So after all, going onto an airplane, all you can have is one carry-on, right? But you can cram everything you want in it. We have to be careful that that's not what we're doing spiritually. Last scripture. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. So I want you to hear from some of these young people. Maybe it was a bag that they were carrying. Then maybe they decided, I don't need that anymore. You know what? I'm tired of this negativity and criticism. I'm going to leave that at the door. So who's going first? Ah, yeah. You'll go.
So at Ford, one of the messages that Jensen Franklin, he told the story of a painting that was, $13 billion. It was a really expensive painting, and he sold it for, I think, $38 million or a lot of money. And the painting ended up getting damaged, ruined, split in half. And so he obviously didn't sell it to the guy. He bought it back from him. And he searched and searched for someone that could repair this painting. After about a year, the painting got repaired. And from the front, you could not tell. But from the back, you could see where it was repaired, where it was scarred, where it had been ripped. And he said that after a year or so, the same man that had bought it before called back and said that he wanted that painting for $58 million. So he said that because it was damaged, it was worth more. And he said that's how God sees us. No matter how damaged we are, we're worth everything in God's eyes. And like he said in the video, no matter what our scars are, we're in God's eyes, we're still everything. And our mess is our message. And that's what I got from Forward. That's good.
Because when he showed that painting, after the guy had restored it, there you could not tell. And that is how God touches us. You can't tell that the damage still took place, but there's no evidence. There's no visible evidence. Next.
Okay. Thank you, Henrietta. Your name is? I'm Kayla, and this is my first year going to Ford. And I think the speaker, I think his name was Cy Rogers, and he said something about we don't need to give God just 10% because he didn't give us 10%. He gave us his 100% and he gave us his all. So we need to give him everything that we have to offer. So that's it.
Good. And Rachel Lane was the first young lady. who welcomed you with her cheer. All right.
You can stand right there.
Can I sit right here? This feels odd. Okay. Oh, I gotta drop my bag. Well, I need to use it for a second anyways. I'm Carissa. And during the conference, Reggie Dabbs, which was the person everybody cheered for so loudly because he's such a great speaker, I got the privilege to go to Ford last year, and he spoke then too. So everybody knew him. Everybody who went last year knew him. So we were very excited that he was going to be there again. He's wonderful, very relatable. But he told us a story about a guy who was walking, and he was into a book, I believe, or in his thoughts, I don't know. But he was walking and just got off track from where he usually goes. So he ends up running into this, like, guarded place, and there's a guard on top of the tower, and he starts screaming at him, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And the guy said, "What?" And he said, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" So the guy just looks at him for a minute, and then he was like, "How much do they pay you to stand there and scream at people?" And he was like, he told him an amount. He was like, "Well, I will pay you double that to come outside of my house, and every morning when I walk out, ask me, 'Who are you and what are you doing here?'" So that was probably the most the thing that spoke most to me, because when we came back to our rooms, I was talking about, I write when I'm in my thoughts or whatever, and "Who are you and what are you doing here" is something that changes on the daily for some people. And they also gave an example of, during the conference, they asked, "Are you lonely? Are you," and we raised our lights on our phones, and it had a bunch of questions, and at the end, basically people gave all of those things to God, so they weren't dealing with, or could give that to him and not dealing with it by themselves anymore. So people may wake up and say, "I am lonely, and I am afraid, or I am sad, or I'm depressed, or I have anxiety," and all these things that were named to all of the teenagers, and to see all those lights light up, you wake up in the morning and say, "Who am I and what am I doing here?" And if you wake up with all this baggage and you're saying, "Oh, I'm depressed and I'm lonely and I'm tired and I don't know what I'm doing here," at the end of the day, when you drop your baggage and say, "God, I am who you say I am and I'm doing what you tell me to do," you change your whole mindset. So that was...
So, Ty. Okay, so Reggie Dabbs spoke the most to me because he was telling this story about the tag. And so this nurse slit the tag and gave the person another tag. That means, like, when he spoke to me, that means that God can change your tag. Like, if you have sin, you ask him to forgive you and come into your heart, and he will clear you. Okay, I'm done. Okay, so I got one funny thing. So while we was on the trip, Dawn, I wouldn't go to bed. And Dawn said she would get the flip-flop. And Cassandra has got the flip-flop. I haven't, because I acted right for the rest because I didn't want to get the flip-flop. So, yeah.
And she did it with me with the flip-flop.
All right. All right, I'm Wesley, and to kind of help explain more what Ty said, like almost everyone, Reggie Dabbs was the one who spoke to me the most. I don't know if you guys have heard about this story, but was it called MASH? M-A-S-H? Something? Yeah. Well, he was doing a book report on that, and he said there was one chapter where it was one doctor and two nurses every day that would go into this little, like, medical camp, and the nurse would go up to each patient. There was a blue tag, a yellow tag, and a red tag. The blue tag meant you're damaged, but you're going to be okay with a couple, like, medical treatments and stuff. The yellow tag meant you're so badly damaged that the only possible way that you're going to get through this is if you go through some major surgeries. And a red tag means you're so damaged we can't do anything and you're going to die. So one day the nurse was going and putting tags on everyone. And then she got to this one man that was lying on the ground. He was bleeding everywhere. He had like a huge scar like right here. And she put a red tag on him. But whenever she was walking away, the man grabbed her hand and he said, "Tell my father I love him." But the nurse saw the look in his eyes. And what that meant to her was he really doesn't want to die. So without anyone knowing, she snipped the red tag and put the yellow tag on so he'd at least have a chance of living. So I think it was 5 years later, the like almighty five-star general came and he said, "All doctors and nurses, meet me in the cafeteria." And they were scared because usually whenever the general comes, that means someone's in trouble or someone's done something really bad. So they all met in the cafeteria, and that nurse was hiding in the back because she knew that the general was here because of what she'd done. So he said, "Look at this clipboard and tell me what these tags mean." So a doctor went up and he said, he explained the blue, yellow, and red tags. And then he said, "Yeah, this man had a red tag, but someone changed it to yellow. Who done it?" So everyone went silent and they were looking around. And then the nurse in the back, she raised her hand and she said, "I'd done it." So the man dropped his clipboard and he ran over to her. He got down on his knees and said, "That was my son and you saved him."
Don't need you anymore. All right. Well, the first night was Reggie Dabbs, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
My name's Mick, by the way. Long story short. All right. But as everyone's already put out there, Reggie Dabbs was the speaker the first night. And so, like Carissa said, he did a thing where if you're broken and, you know, if you have depression, turn on your light. If you have anxiety, turn on your light. You know, everybody's turning on their lights. And I was thinking, man, I wish I had a flashlight, you know. But I'm a broken person. And to see that many people are broken today, it hit me a certain way. I don't quite know how to describe it. It made me feel hopeless. Yeah. And as we were leaving the first night's service, a woman came up and grabbed me and she said, "You know, God provides hope for the hopeless." And so it blew my mind. You know, I was talking to Russ later about it. And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't know what to think of that." He's like, "You know, the whole conversation could have been avoided if you told me that in the first place, because you just describing yourself as hopeless." You know? But next morning, you know, we were getting around to it, and they was talking about peace. I can't think of that lady's name. It's not pronounceable. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. But essentially, I was like, "Wow, I want some peace." Same lady, I'm sure of it, you know, came up, "Peace is within you." And I was like, "I got to get this woman to come live with me or something. This is something else. I need this motivation now." But I think God worked his wonders.
Yes.
I'm kind of spiritually an idiot sometimes, so I guess he thought maybe getting someone to come physically talk to me was just what I needed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mick. Yeah, it was so funny because initially Mick wasn't putting it together that he said, "I feel hopeless," and God, in his infinite wisdom, mercy, love, and goodness, sent a random woman out of 13,000 people to touch him and say, "God gives hope to the hopeless." The next day, same woman, 13,000 different people, and the peace is within you. And I told Mick, I said, "You need to share that with the rest of the group because it excites me. It encourages me to know that God is still in the business to speak to people. Regardless of who you are or what you think you're." We were on the elevator, we're coming back up to the room. I said, you really need to share this because I said, it excites me. And he's like, "Dude, really? You know, I said, yeah. Is that pretty accurate? Yes, Rachel, I'll show you how it felt. So we get off the elevator. I said, it makes me want to, yeah, that is great. That is awesome. You got to tell everybody about that. And Mick says, man, I didn't think you could move like that.
My name is Jared. The biggest bag up here. I was going to Ford Conference with a lot of shame for my past and for who I was. All of the speakers that spoke at Ford, they all talked to me. And, you know, as they were preaching the word, I got from every single one of them, God just kept telling me, you can let that go. Give that to me. But I just wouldn't listen. And the last night that we were there at Ford Conference, I almost broke down in tears because I couldn't hold on to that because it was so heavy, because my baggage was so heavy. I was ashamed for what I did. I was ashamed for what I've done. But now I realize I don't have to be ashamed anymore. I don't have to. What my mistakes were in the past does not define me for who I am now. God does that, not my mistakes.
Amen.
So now you get to hear from one of the leaders' perspective. I'm Jonathan. They don't know me? What? I'm just joking. So, Reggie Davis was talking about who am I and what am I doing here? And that question kept coming up in my spirit the whole night. I couldn't sleep that first night. Mind you, we had like a 3-hour drive, and they don't like to sleep. I'm just telling you that. So it just kept going on in my head. And then the next session, the next morning was Laura Talks, and she was saying, everyone has a story. And I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? She said that everyone has a story, and you need to share your story. And I said, so how am I going to get through to these kids? And he said, tell your story. They need to hear your story of where the past don't define you. And every story has some tension, just like any story. But it's how you continue and go through your story and walk off on the other side of your story. And they need to hear that. So that's what I got.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Jonathan and I were talking, I don't know, the days all run together on these trips. He said, you know, I thought that I was coming down here just to be one of the leaders with the kids. And I said, and? He said, man, God is speaking to me about things in my life. You know, typically that's what happens. You go think, oh, I'm going to one of the leaders. Now, he wasn't doing that at all, but I'm here for the kids, here for the children. God, do what you need to do to the children. And God says, okay, well, let's just wait and see what I do with you. And so that's typically how it goes. Who's next?
I think it was Benning Lipscher. He said, oh, I'm Jessica. Is he? I'm sure. So Banning Lipscher was one of the speakers there, and he talked about giving 100%, not 10%. And a lot of what I got from that is a lot of times as Christians, we hold back what we have been given, whether it's anointment or whether it's the words you have, because not everybody else around you is Christian, or even the ones that are Christian, they don't have the same anointment as you. And the reason they don't have the same anointment as you is because God picked that anointment out for you. And so you can't hold back just because God gave you 100%, you got to give 100% too.
That's good. All right. Who's next? Anybody else? That's one thing we do too. We never force anybody you have to share what God did in your life. We just don't do that. That's not how we do things, is it, Chayden? Mr. Blue Hair.
You already said my name, so.
I did.
I'm Chayden.
Thank you.
Mine is also about banning Leibscher. Okay. He was talking about how other people can be set like in different directions all at the same time, praising other gods that aren't real. But then he says, what you have to do is praise the one true God. Go the one right path. And it says in Galatians 1:15, for God set me apart even in my mother's womb, that I may praise and preach his word.
Amen.
I noticed that he had baggage and all, but sometimes we carry our baggage in our pockets because we want to not to be seen as much. We come back from Ford, and Chayden had these mints, and this happened yesterday. So Chayden had all these mints that he was passing out, and he was taking everybody's trash, and he was putting them in his pockets. Sorry, Chayden. But so I'm doing laundry, and all through the laundry, I'm pulling out these plastic empty wrappers. And I'm like, oh, Chayden, you brought home all this mess. And then I thought to myself, but they're empty wrappers. When you bring home what is an empty wrapper, then it meant that he got the mint, he got the very nectar of that out at the conference. When you sent them, and what you might see is the empty bags being thrown on the ground that represent their baggage. But when they got at the I watched them. And one night I didn't say anything, except I blessed them at the end of it. I didn't say anything. I just watched them. And a lot of times, you know, I seen this, and I don't want to offend him. Then I seen this, and, you know, you look around the church, and you're thinking sometimes, you know, you ain't really worshiping. I do. I look, and I'm like, God, I'm hungry to see a move in the youth. I want to see them get the very nectar of the word, that which feeds them, that which honey grows from, that which cultivates the cone. The reason the bee does the cone is to cultivate the honey. And I want that to be where they can overflow. And watching them get the nectar and their vessels being full, even though the wrappers are empty, their vessels are vessels as they empty out those wrappers and empty out the garbage and let go of this, they're beginning to get full of the real, true word. And one of the things I blessed them with is that there not be any stumbling blocks. So just as a mom of some of the youth, as an aunt of some of the youth, and just as somebody that cares, I ask you guys to begin to pray that God would allow them to see the stumbling block before they fall over it, that they don't have to learn from making mistakes. We always say, well, they'll learn from making their mistakes. You'll learn from that. You'll learn from that. Let them be able to see what others have came through And just like when the altars were built and they'd go back to the altar, let them see those altars. Show them and allow them to see it before they hit it so that they begin to worship through instead of stumbling over it, that they see it as it is, that it is a stumbling block, but God can take them around that stumbling block. We don't have to go, they don't have to go around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain, because there's others that have a story. And if we will begin to tell our story, these kids can learn from our story, because their eyes and ears are open, because God is going to open in their eyes and ears so that they don't have to do it. That's a blessing. You begin to bless your kids with saying, you're not going to have to go over that stumbling block because you've seen it. I pray that your eyes be open to it.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Thank you, Amy. I think we got time for maybe one more. Anybody? You guys, you always put me on the spot. Wesley put me on the spot last year. I don't know if you remember. He said, we're getting ready to leave the hotel. And he said, Russell, what are you leaving with? Stuff I came with. You know, that's what I thought. And he said, no. And then he was shorter than me. Now he's not. And he said, no, no, no. What are you taking from this conference? I said, oh, you're going there. So we had a good deep conversation about what I was taking from it. And Mick apparently is the one doing it this year. There was a speaker named Cy Rogers. He came out and gave his testimony about being involved in homosexuality, gender identity, all kinds of sexual related topics, which I think the church should be talking about. And we talk about them in youth. We are not afraid to talk about those subjects. But the beautiful thing he said was, regardless of whatever's going on, his final thing was, the word of God is how I live my life. He said, I may feel like, you know, doing this or saying that, we may feel like gossiping, we may feel like, you know, whatever it might be, we might feel like indulging in some other sin or whatever. And he would sigh. It was beautiful on stage because he's walking, he's talking like this. He said, but however, the word of God says, so we can all be going one direction, but we always have to go, however, God says. You know, I really don't like the way that that person is treating me. I would like to smack them. However, I would really like to just cuss that person out and use all kinds of colorful metaphors. However, the word of God says. But see, I just had to get to that point where I'm like, gosh, you know, instead of just continuing down that path, we need to stop and just say, you know, however, regardless of what I want to do right now, the word of God says that I probably shouldn't. So that did become a joke with all of us. You know, I would really like to just smack your face. However, you know, I would really like to just, whatever it was. However, the word of God has to be the standard. Period. I don't care what social topic we face today, what political agenda is going on. However, so when you are posting on social media, I'm going to tell them exactly what I think. However, what is God saying? What is God telling you to do instead of what you want to do? It's just dying daily and crucifying the flesh. So what I want to do, Vivian, I know this is short notice, but you're awesome, and thank you for covering media. Can you pull up a song by Hillsong Young and Free called Peace? I want her to play this. And guys, if you'll come line up down here, I know I'm putting you on the spot. You're going to get to pray for people. Yes. Sure.
Accessory prayer about we prayed really strong today in intercessory prayer, and the Lord gave me a word about beware of the counterfeit. So I think that goes along with some of the messages, that they are becoming aware of the counterfeit. That there is just one true way, true God. And they don't have to go through stuff, because they're going to know, they're going to discern the true God and the truth. They're not going to have to, they're going to beware. They're going to know the counterfeit. And I just had to say that. I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to confirm what he told me this morning, and this just went along with it because, yes, the enemy is after our children, and we're not going to allow it, the enemy to have them. We're going to stand in the gap as intercessors and as believers, and in knowing the counterfeit from the truth. So I just wanted to say that, Russell. God bless y'all.
Thank you so much. So, Vivian, you good up there? She is awesome. On a media note, the video you saw recapped this year's conference, and they had it done before we left the conference. That may not mean a lot to you, but a media guy's like, okay, that's impressive for you to be able to give us a video that already recapped what these kids have seen and experienced, just as a reminder of what God did. Jeff Wells had a word. They felt like somebody needs a financial breakthrough. So if that's you, what I'm asking for in faith, these young people are going to pray for whatever need that you may have while she's playing this song. Again, there's nothing magical about a kid doing it, but there's some innocence here. And then there's some experience here. There's some experience in this group of people that you would not imagine. Some not such good experiences, but they have learned and they have seen what God can do in a mess and turn that around and make it a message. So while she's praying this, I'm just going to ask you to be obedient to the Lord if that's you, if for any need, for whatever it is. If you need to let go and lose control of some stuff that you're holding on to and you don't want to check that bag, then let go. Put it down and just come up and receive. Amen? Amen.
Truth.
think that just deserves a big amen. Amen. So again, this was more than just a youth service, and much more than just us saying thank you for sowing into this conference and into this generation. I'm praying and believing that what you experienced today, that you will never forget, and that what you have received today, you'll allow to take root. Because that's one thing we caution the young people about. You know, you can go to these conferences and it's mountaintop peak experiences. It's, oh yeah, I'll serve God till I die. Well, and that's an intent. That's a true intention of heart. But then they come back, and I'm going to be very honest, then they come back to homes with parents who discourage what they just experienced. They go back to school with students and friends who discourage and claim that it wasn't a real thing. But you cannot deny. When you have an experience, nobody can take that away from you. Amen? So I am charging and challenging this congregation. Pray for these young people. I pray you'll see their faces and these shirts and you'll just remember, oh, I need to pray for that guy. I need to pray for that young lady. I need to pray for that generation. Because there is an all-out war against them to kill them physically. We have seen it. So let's join together and pray for them and pray for our leaders. They went without sleep for a few days, but it was well worth it. Amen. Pastor, you got anything you want to add? Well, thank you. I just can't thank you enough. This was one of our greatest conferences, greatest fundraisers. So it just speaks volumes to me as youth pastor of your belief and your support in this youth group and this generation. I will just close with, we are having a multi-church youth service tonight. So today is a busy day for this group. We're having the folks from Grace Chapel, their youth pastor, they're coming over, they're bringing their youth band. His brother, Andy McGinnis, is also bringing his group from his church. So we're probably going to have 50 or 60 teenagers down there. If any of you want to come hang out, you're welcome to. A couple of youth bands, food, fun, music, games, and a whole lot of Jesus. Amen? All right. Thank you. Well, yeah.
Our Father says that these children are special, that He is with them. And we are supposed to pray for them so that their friends in school and out of school will see His love through them and come to His ways and follow these children. You guys are great.
Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this service. Lord, thank you for this church and the leadership who believes in this generation. And Father, we pray that everything that you have done here today, that we will take it home, that it will take root, it will grow, and we'll come just be able to see it come to full fruition in our lives. Father, may we never forget this day in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.